From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will conclude a message called The False Lord of Righteousness and the True, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please give your attention to this devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Care of Our Feet. The text is found in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9. He will keep the feet of his saints. The way is slippery, and our feet are feeble, but the Lord will keep our feet. If we give ourselves up by obedient faith to be his holy ones, He will himself be our guardian. Not only will he charge his angels to keep us, but he himself will preserve our goings. He will keep our feet from falling, so that we do not defile our garments, wound our souls, and cause the enemy to blaspheme. He will keep our feet from wandering, so that we do not go into paths of error or ways of folly or courses of the world's custom. He will keep our feet from swelling through weariness or blistering because of the roughness and length of the way. He will keep our feet from wounding. Our shoes shall be iron and brass, so that even though we tread on the edge of the sword or on deadly serpents, we shall not bleed or be poisoned. He will also pluck our feet out of the net. We shall not be entangled by the deceit of our malicious and crafty foes. With such a promise as this, let us run without weariness and walk without fear. He who keeps our feet will do it effectually.
The day is set, the time is come, the witnesses arrive. The course is marked, the men prepared, all weights are set aside. Positions are assumed and taken, energies now reawaken. Empty thoughts are all forsaken, I must win the prize. I've won this race with patience. With joy, I'll fix my eyes on Jesus' face, the one who saved me by his matchless grace. My course is set, my God designed it all for his great cause. I will not live for selfish gain or die for man's applause. My Savior, love, my passion, King, is every blessed word I'll cling. To him is every wish I'll bring till Jesus calls me home. I've won this race with patience. With joy, I'll fix
provision. The Lord is all I need. He has already won the victory. From sin I have been free. Oh Lord, I must be faithful.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. In Joshua chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, we read of Adonizedek, the king of Jerusalem, who gathered a coalition of four other Canaanite kings to make war on the Gibeonites because they had entered into a league with Israel. The focus of this message centers upon the names of the two principal characters. Joshua is the Hebrew rendering of Jesus. Adonizedek literally means king of righteousness. But he was anything but a righteous man. He was a bitter enemy of God's people. In complete contrast, the Lord Jesus Christ is the true King of righteousness. Christ is the true King of peace, the only one who is able to reconcile sinners to a holy God. Both Adonizedek and the city of Jerusalem, which means vision of peace, were unworthy of their names. Both were examples of apostasy. What was true of them is also true of many church leaders and others in this day who take the name of Christian, but who deny the power of the gospel. Yet, just like the people who sought to destroy the Gibeonites, these apostates will suffer utter defeat at the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now to conclude this message, the false Lord of righteousness and the true, here is Dr. Cairns.
You remember that Paul warned the Thessalonians that the day of the Lord's return would not come except there come a falling away. The word is an apostasy first. Now that should tell you something. You have all these people running around trying to put a date on the coming of Christ, and they want you to believe that Christ is coming this year or next year. And let me tell you, whenever the Lord comes, it can't be soon enough. We say with John, even so, come Lord Jesus. But these very people are usually the ones who are leveling all distinctions. They're seeking union with Rome. They don't believe that there is a great apostasy. But Paul says, before that day comes, and learn this, it cannot come except there is first a great apostasy, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He also told Timothy that the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their consciences seared with a hot iron. Now when he talks about doctrine of devils, he's not talking about the occult. There are parts of Scripture that prophesy the reemergence of occult powers and an interest in occult things before the coming of the Lord. The book of the Revelation particularly draws attention to this. But that's not what Paul's talking about. When Paul talks about doctrines of devils and seducing spirits, he's talking about apostates who hold the name of Jesus Christ, who will with great unctuousness say, we are Christians. And they talk about peace. And they talk about justice. And they talk about love. And only an ecumenist can even pronounce the word as they do. They have given it a whole new sound, this ecumenical love. But they hate Christ. They hate the gospel. They hate the great distinctives of grace. As Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. All this is pictured in our text. This is what Jerusalem in the text talks about. It has the name, but it doesn't have the truth. And Adonai Zedek, the Lord of righteousness, is a stranger to the righteousness which his name proclaims. Here's a man who took the name of Christ, but was in reality a very antichrist. That's what Joshua was facing. John the Apostle faced something similar in his day. He says, even now there are many antichrists. Now, he's not talking about things in the world. There's enough opposition out there, you would think, to keep the whole church busy. But he says, I'm not talking about things in the world. I'm talking about things in the church. Antichrists. That is the position that has faced the church of God down through the years. That's the solemn charge that the Protestant reformers and indeed the groups of faithful men who sought to witness for Christ before the Reformation. I think of John Wycliffe in England denouncing the Pope as Antichrist. Martin Luther wrote one of his most powerful and polemical works on that very subject. Antichrist. John Calvin named the Pope as Antichrist. John Knox, he named him as Antichrist. In the next generation, the Puritans named him as Antichrist. In the next generation, John Wesley, leader of the Methodists, named him as Antichrist. Right down through the history of the church from that day, this is the constant charge of the reformers and all who have stood for the truth of the gospel as it is in Jesus Christ against the Roman pontiff, because he takes the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He takes the titles that belong exclusively to God. He appropriates them to himself. Yet all the time, he hates the gospel. He's the enemy of God's truth and of all who stand for that truth. The same thing can be said of the leaders of every cult and every apostate church. They're vehement in their claim to be Christian. But the mark of every single cult that has ever been spawned is that it is wrong on the person and work of Jesus Christ. It is wrong on the person and work of Jesus Christ. They may have other things that are wrong. For instance, when you talk to self-styled but most inappropriately called Jehovah's Witness, he will want to have you talk to him about the meaning of the Old Testament Hebrew term Sheol and the New Testament Hades. And he'll want to get into what he thinks he knows about all the various shades of meaning of the Hebrew and the Greek terms regarding the abode of the dead, those who have left this life. Now, we have nothing to fear from the Jehovah's Witness perversion of the biblical teaching regarding eternal punishment. But whenever I meet a Jehovah's Witness, I always tell them, I'll give you a text on that. And I always turn them to Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. And that's the end of any Jehovah's Witness and his stupidities, his idiocies, and his doctrine of the eternal state. But then I say, I have something much more important to talk to you about. And that is about Jesus Christ. You deny that he is God. The Bible says he is God. You deny his atonement. The Bible preaches his atonement. Before we get to talk about other things, let's get to the fundamentals of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. I had a man from the Seventh-day Adventist call me up one day after a radio program. He was rather incensed that I used the word Sabbath regarding our Lord's Day services. This is the Christian Sabbath. And he wanted to do a count of the number of times that Sabbath was used, and it referred to the seventh day of the week, and therefore, and I don't know, this is the way he went on. So I gave him a few things about the Sabbath, and then I said, hold a second, before we get talking about that, let me talk about something much more important. According to you and the people who stand behind you, Satan bore away our sins. He's the scapegoat. Right? According to you, Jesus came back in 1844. Right? So before you get talking about the Sabbath, let's get talking about the fundamentals of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you're wrong there, doesn't matter what else you believe, you're not a Christian. That's true. Oh, how many there are today who want to take the name of Christ, but they oppose the very person and work of Christ. We should remember, of course, that this situation is not going to get any better. The Lord Jesus told us himself that false Christs will appear and will be the mark of the end times, culminating in the appearance of the final man of sin himself. Jesus said, many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Paul looked right to the end when the final Antichrist would come. He said, then shall that wicked be revealed, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish. False Christ antichrists, people who bear the name, but they don't have anything of the reality. Of course, we should look at that in a much more immediate and individual and personal way. For this text, if it does anything, it points up this tragedy. The tragedy of people who bear the name of Christ, but know nothing of His peace. There are millions of these people around the world. They bear the name of Christ, but they know nothing of peace with God through the sole merits of His atonement. I wonder, my friend, are you among those who have a name to live, but you're dead? I wonder today, do you take the name of Christ, but in honesty, you have nothing of the peace of Christ? You've never known what it is to have the old enmity between you and your God slain by the cross of Christ? The gap bridged by His atoning death. What a tragedy. Let me tell you, settle for nothing less than the reality of Christ as the Lord your righteousness, by whose sacrifice and blood you have real peace with God, that peace that belongs to all who are in the Jerusalem, which is from above, the mother of us all. Finally, I will only announce this, for time has gone. There's one last thought here. As Adonizedek was crushed by Joshua, so every antichrist, every apostate, and every false professor will fall before Jesus, the true possessor of the title, the Lord of Righteousness. Against the man with the mark of Antichrist, Adonizedek, stands Joshua, who not only bears the name of Jesus Christ, but according to Hebrews 4, beautifully typifies Him. What a glorious picture we have as we close. Jesus, the true Lord of Righteousness, conquers Antichrist and possesses Jerusalem as His own. Now there's prophecy here. Christ will conquer Antichrist. And it's interesting in Revelation 16:21, by the way, that in that time, hail from heaven, each hailstone a talent weight, will do exactly what the hail we have read of in Joshua 10:11 did in the days of Joshua. It's a very close parallel. Our true Lord of Righteousness will come and conquer Antichrist. But here there's also personal warning. And I want to leave this with you today. While the systems and leaders of apostasy can never be saved, they're beyond redemption, there is time and there is opportunity to repent for people who have only the name of Christ without any living, loving, or saving interest in Him. If today you're convicted that I have a name, but I have no reality, I can pass as a Christian, but when I'm before God, I know I'm not a Christian, there's time to repent and be converted. Oh, I warn you. I warn you on the edge, on the verge of eternity. Repent and be saved. And if you are saved, there's great comfort here. We'll follow this up more fully in the Lord's will in our next study in Joshua 10. But what comfort there is. Confronted by the apparently invincible forces of Antichrist, what do? We cry out to Joshua, our great Savior, for help and deliverance. And He gives it. He'll give it spiritually. He'll give it continually. And He'll give it at His coming. Let me today say we are on the victory side. The false Lord of righteousness will give way to the true Lord of righteousness. And our great Joshua, Lord of righteousness, will appear in glory and will reign in His Jerusalem, the true vision of peace. I trust today that God has done two or three things, directed your attention to the heart of the gospel, alerted you to the danger of false religion, and finally placed within your heart that insatiable desire to be right with God and live in the joy of peace through Christ, our righteousness.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.